Comings and goings for a few minutes, but it's wonderful to have so many children. It's wonderful. We love the children. It's such a blessing to have the next generation come under the influence of the Word and Spirit and have Jesus impact from the noughts to, well, not quite nought. It's never nought if they've started off life. Right through to this room. Bye-bye. Have a lovely time. Waving. Everybody wave. There he goes. Bye-bye, sweetheart. Have a nice time. As we've already heard this morning, we are so thankful to the Lord for everything that he did in Italy. And we were ministering in two churches and really quite an unusual grace and outpouring of the Holy Spirit on both churches. And as you've already heard, I had a very troublesome cough. Has anybody ever had a troublesome cough and you just want to kick it out quick? But it seemed to keep us, because we were sharing a room, it kept us awake every night. So we probably went without sleep for the entire trip. But I was singing this morning, you know, out of weakness, he makes us strong. And it's amazing what God can do, even if you're feeling you haven't got anything to give, and you haven't got energy, and you haven't got whatever it takes. Jesus, if we trust in him, we can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens us? Who strengthens us? And honestly, I could hardly believe it. And every time I spoke, and every time you ministered, well, you weren't coughing, but I didn't cough. And as soon as I get down from the platform, I'm like, well, maybe I should just keep speaking. Day and night, just keep on preaching. Because it would seem that there's a grace on that to stop. But anyway, we were blessed. And when we were coming back home, I was thanking the Lord on the plane. We were both talking about the amazing things that Jesus had done. We were just so grateful. You know, when you come back from somewhere and you've seen God do what you've longed to see God do, you come back and you're just thanking the Lord. And I was thanking the Lord also for this couple that we have known for 20 years. Their names are Romolo and Miriam Giovanardi. Okay, so they're Italians. They're about 75-ish, perhaps. They won't like hearing that. They might be 73. I don't know, so I need to correct myself just in case they listen in. And they are friends of Jesus, truly, who lay down their lives for others. And they happen to be, you know, quite blessed, let me put it like that. They have a kind of a real financial blessing in their lives. And when we arrive, we kind of arrive with our cases, walk in, and we stay with them in their home in Modena. And as soon as we walk in, it's like coming home. And it's like having a mum and dad, which, you know, is rare for me. You know, we don't have, we're orphans. Happy, blessed orphans, but we're orphans. I've been an orphan a long time. It sounds funny from my age to say that, doesn't it? But I have loads of people here who are my family, aren't they? I have family, but in this case, when we arrive with our big suitcases because we never travel light, we're English. And ladies never travel light. So we arrive with these great suitcases, which they always complain, how do you need so much stuff? And we sit down to the first evening meal prepared for us. And basically, they open their heart and they open their home, and they are the most generous couple we've known, really, over the years. They've never stopped giving. And as I was coming back on the plane, I was thinking about this subject of generosity. and how enriched their lives are because they're so generous. And they're so generous to us in every which way. They call us their family. They treat us as if we were family. Always giving to us. They take us out for one meal during that. We usually eat at the home, and Miriam does all the cooking. Amazing. And then we have one meal out, and you know, they order the best for us. And we just go through this time of real lots of work with this amazed attitude as how did we get to know these people? How did the Lord connect us with these people who do us so much good? And if you've ever been with a generous person, they kind of live to do you good. And I was thinking about this subject of generosity, which is obviously a slightly Christmassy theme. Because out of the immense, indescribable gift that God gave to us through Jesus, there is there is to be a culture in God's people of generosity. We are to be a generous people. And whilst this couple seem to be kind of really quite wealthy and they're empowered really to bless, we walked into the first meeting in the church and there was this girl who's not very well off. And she's got, her husband doesn't go to church, so it's quite hard for her. It's really difficult for her to serve the Lord. And she cleans in the church. And she has this little daughter who's probably about 11. And as soon as we walked in, they have like a book table. And she looked at us and said, in Italian, they expect us to understand everything. They just talk. Has anybody, you know, they just talk at you and you go, non capito. Choose something. I want to buy it for you. And you know, generosity isn't about how much you have. It's about your heart to bless others. So you might be sitting there saying, well, sounds like Romolo and Miriam have loads of stuff they can bless. But you know, there is an important truth in God's word that speaks about all of us needing to be generous people. And I trust, especially today as I've forgotten to bring my glasses, I will be able to bring God's word to you in a fresh way that will encourage you to be more generous. Some of us, you know, in this room would call ourselves quite generous. I don't know. Others might think, I'm not very generous, I need to raise my game. But whatever, I believe that God wants to kind of put his finger on this subject in our lives. Because we are to reflect who God really is and that he is a God who is generous and gives freely to everyone. And I want to start with this kind of, it sounds like a selfish comment. But you know, God is a rewarding God. He knows how we act as children. Children like rewards. So if you clean your room, we will allow you that to happen. As children, that's what happens when you grow up. My parents used to say, if you do that, you'll get that. We used to get pocket money if we were good and do the work that we were supposed to do. And we used to come in, and if we weren't good, no reward. And God is a God who rewards. And I want to start with this comment of blessing. If you want the blessing of God on your life, be generous. And I want to show you from God's word how even though we can be blessed in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing, which is what we are as a kind of state, a faith state, that's who you are. If you have Jesus in your life, you are blessed. But if you want to activate a blessing, a God's blessing on your life, it comes through this really important subject of generosity. Be generous. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says that whatever a man sows or a woman, that he will also reap. Starts with this, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. For whatever a man or a woman sows or gives, that he will also reap. Now, this is a law that governs everything. For example, the law of gravity governs that if I jump off a high building, I will fall and hurt myself. Even if I don't believe in the law of gravity, and I can stand at the top of a building and say, I won't hurt myself and crash. So the law of God works whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. It's a law that works throughout the earth today. It is whatever someone sows. Now that means gives away from yourself. You will reap it. And it's in the context actually of sowing to the flesh. If you sow to your own flesh, if you sow to sin, you will reap destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow generosity in this context of today's message, you will reap generosity. Amen. So we are to think like farmers, not like microwavers. As human beings, you know, even as Christians, we can be so short-term thinking. In our relationships, in our giving, we think today. But a farmer thinks tomorrow. He knows he's got seed, he's got something he can put into the ground. And he expects that what he puts in, what he gives away, doesn't keep. What he gives away, it will produce something in the future. And a farmer always thinks future. Tell somebody next to you, don't just think about today, think about your future. If the farmer does nothing, if he doesn't give anything away from himself, he sits in his little farmhouse, eating everything he's got, taking in everything just for himself. You know what his future is going to be? Poor. Because he just consumes everything himself, eats it. Which is why there is a principle in the Word of God about giving. Generosity. Because if you are generous, you will reap a harvest in your future. You are sowing for the future to ensure that your future is blessed. We need to hear this, don't we? We sow so that we reap. And that's the law of God. It works whether you believe it or not, or whether you do it or not. It is a law that happens. You are living in what you have sown. Today, if you sow in your relationship with the Lord, if you sow faithfulness, if you sow to the Spirit, let me tell you, you'll reap a joy-filled life. You'll be a happy person. And the church needs to be happy. God is with us. Hallelujah. I'm saved, not going to hell. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you don't sow in your relationship with God, let me tell you, you won't be reaping. Get nothing back. Because whatever a person sows, that he reaps. Now, we can't do anything about the past. But we can do something about today. And I want you to approach your life from a today mentality and thinking into the future. So that the Word of God actually changes the way you do life. How do we sow? Well, we sow generosity with ideas. We make plans to be generous. My bank account doesn't just suddenly automatically transfer money to someone in need. I have to have the idea. Ding! I think I'll bless someone. You understand that? It's not just going to happen. So I have to make plans to give. Then I have to take that further into action. Because many of us have plans to give, and it's like the farmer sitting on the sofa saying, I'd really like a harvest, but does nothing with it. And so we have to make plans and carry it through into action. And we can give. Let me tell you, giving isn't just financial. Giving is your time, your energy, your encouragement, your words. Giving is serving someone else, not expecting everybody to serve you. Giving is using your talents to bless other people. For example, our worship team are sowing. And let me tell you, they will reap. Our door team are sowing. They will reap. Our hospitality team are giving. They're sowing. They're being generous. Our children's ministry, they're being generous. They're giving. And they will reap. Anyone who does anything to serve and give will reap. And so it works in every area of life. And especially, you know, on the run down to Christmas, we need to think about, what generous act can I plan to do that will, first of all, bless someone and then activate a harvest in 2020? Because I'm looking ahead. I'm looking ahead. I don't want to be like Scrooge. We'll go into Scrooge in a minute. But God is generous. If you think God begins with a G, and he is generous. Satan begins with an S, and he is stingy and selfish. So God is generous, and he's a giver. Satan is selfish, and he's a taker. I do have a slide for that, but you know it. It's very simple. God is generous. Satan is selfish. And you know, when any one of us were children without Jesus living in us, before we received Jesus, we are born with a nature to take. So you can tell when children at Christmas, one of them has a toy the other wants to play with. And when that toy is ripped out of that one's hand and taken into another, they're going to scream, mine! Mine! It's mine! Why? Because when we're first born, in other words, naturally, we are takers. All the songs about love is about me, what I can get out of life. But God's love is what you can give. Love is expressed in giving. And so we see that until we're born again, we have a nature to take. But as soon as we receive Jesus, we have a new nature. You are not what you were before you were born again. You're a new person. And his divine nature, because Christ comes to live in you, is a generous nature, because God is generous. Amen. Amen. Now, some of us have to deal with the flesh to break through who God is in our lives and relearn how to do life in a way that works for our benefit and for others. But Satan is selfish. Jesus said he comes to steal. That's selfish. He comes to take, not give. He wants to always take the glory. He wants to take health. He wants to steal and everything good that God does. But God is a giver, and God's new nature is in us. So you, new creation, are a generous person. Go on, speak faith over yourself. I'm a generous person. In Christ Jesus. I'm a generous person. The old has gone, the Scrooge. The new has come, the generous one. Now, I maybe need to make more plans and actions about generosity, and that's something that's up to you, because you will reap what you sow, not just what you think, what you do. There will be a reaping of a harvest of generosity if you sow it. Now, I mentioned Scrooge, but Charles Dickens, this time of year, there's a new BBC drama, I think, out on Ebenezer Scrooge. And if you haven't seen Ebenezer Scrooge, The Christmas Carol, I'm not going to go into it very much, but basically there is this mean, cold-hearted miser. And all he wants to do is amass wealth for himself. Everything he gets in, he keeps. And around him, close around him, are people with great need. A man who works for him has got a son who is not well. They can't afford. They're very poor. But Ebenezer uses that man's gift for his own goal and his own agenda to be rich. And his goal is purely selfish. And he gets insight into his future, which is going to be horrendous if he doesn't make changes in his life. Because whatever a man sows or doesn't sow, keeps, it will affect the future of your life. This works in marriages, darlings. Because if you want a great marriage, start giving. That fell flat. If you want a great marriage, start giving. Be generous to the one that God has given you. And singles, if you want a great life, start giving. Because there is one rule, is the word of God over all of us. You can be happy and blessed if you become what God has called you to be, generous. In every occasion, with your speech. You know, some people are so not generous. Have you ever met? They're not in the church here. Bad mouth, man, pull people down. Negative. I tell you what, I move away from negative people because I know that the anointing works in positivity. That they're actually killing the blessing on their lives when they speak and complain and moan and groan and whine and say, I wish it was different to what it is. Well, let me tell you, darling, we got each other. That's it. The Church of Jesus Christ. The family you have. But your generosity will change your state, your health, your happiness, and it will change your family, it will change your friends, it will change your workplace, it will change the world, because God so loved the world that he gave. And so love is always expressed in doing something, not feeling something. When we love, we do something. So there is another slide. I don't know whether I'm in the right order here because I can't read my notes. But generosity is love in action. You know what Jesus said? You're my friends if you do what I say. And this is my command. This is going to tell us to do what he says. Love one another. You just switched off, some of you. This is my command, Jesus says. You're my friends if you do what I say. Love one another as I have loved you. I loved you by laying down my life for you. Show love partly through your generosity within the church. each other. Show your generosity in your speech, your planning, your giving, your helping, your encouraging, your being there, your listening, your everything. Be generous. Your praying. Be generous to pray for someone else. Don't be a Scrooge with your prayers and have every prayer coming to you. Be a changed person. Now, you know Ebenezer Scrooge? He changed. And he began to see the pain and the suffering and the needs around him. And he started to give. And he changed. Not only did he change his future, but he began to have friendships and relationships. He began to have a family because he became a giver. A new family, not natural family, but a family that he had sown into. And he began to reap. And it's amazing, if you think beyond yourself, how when you start to give, you become a happier person. Even if what you give is turned down or abused. I've noticed something about Romolo and Miriam. They continually give, whether it's to us or it's the church, or he works in the prisons. And for an elderly man, let me tell you, it's a lot of work. And he sows to the kingdom. He doesn't use his time for himself, because that's another thing. You can use your time for yourself, or you can use your time for Jesus. You will reap what you sow. Which is why in God's kingdom there is no retirement. There's a continuation of sowing to reap. And, you know, he's been fleeced. That means abused in his giving by some people. And so have I. I've given when I hardly had anything. And I got nothing back but moaning and complaining. But I do it unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it for him. Because if it's him you're serving in your giving, basically you're saying, I'm looking to you for a harvest. I can't look at them because they're just not responding as quietly as they should have been. A bit rude, to be honest. And love is never rude. We should give back to those who give to us. We should say thank you for those who serve us. We need to increase the culture of generosity amongst us. Amen. Is this all right for a running into Christmas with generosity? Because his goodness will run after you if you run into this. We need to continually make sure that the Scrooge doesn't come back. Some people are generous for a season and then they say, I've had enough. But we always sow for the future. And actually we sow into eternity. Because whatever you do for the Lord carries eternal rewards. So whatever you give, whether it's financial, time, serving, loving, in the home, whether it's in family or work, whatever you do, let me tell you, it's ching ching up there. Ching ching ching. Ching 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 ching. Rewards. And you'll go in, it'll go big ching. How come I'm more blessed? Because you sowed on earth, you will reap in heaven. Amen. Ching, ching. There are 7,000 promises in the Bible, probably more. Think of it, 7,000 promises. Now, God gives many of the promises in the Word of God in the Bible. They're all ours through Jesus. They belong to each one of us. All the promises are yours. God promises you certain things. But most of them have conditions attached. If you will, I will. So in other words, if you clean your room, I will. Like children, yeah? And God says, if you will do this, I will do that. And so promises are often conditional. Yes. Not just to believe and speak, it requires an activity, an action, not just a feeling. Because I can feel I love Jesus so much. I can, I had a great day. All my life you have been faithful. Oh, I feel so good. Feel so good in this time. And then I go out and do nothing with it. It doesn't change me. And God says that being generous will change you and everything around you. There are 7,000 promises. 317 of those are connected with prayer. If you pray, I will. Wow. There are 714 connected with love. More words, more promises connected with loving. Loving one another, loving sinners, loving people, loving the government even in this time. Because God so loved everyone, he gave his son. We're a different people, aren't we? We're generous, even if people mess up and don't do what we think they should do. We sow prayer and we sow blessing on the government. And particularly this next week with the election. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. God is generous to all without finding fault, and that would include our nation. To all without finding fault. Thank you, Lord, for being generous to our nation in this time. Now, the 714 connected with love, guess how many promises connected with giving? No, you can't. Anyway, raise me on 714. I bet you haven't got a clue because I didn't. 2,152 promises connected with giving. Would you say God thinks it's important? 2,152 promises connected with giving. I think there's something in it. I think the Lord's trying to say something to us. And Christmas time is every day for a Christian, because God is with us, Emmanuel. While we celebrate his birth, we always celebrate his presence. Generosity is love in action. There was a family in John chapter 12, and I know I'm not in the right order, which is why Anna-Katrine's struggling with me this morning. But she's been so generous to me up there. She loves me. She's blessing me. So John chapter 12, Jesus, just before he went to the cross, this has really struck me about generosity. Jesus came to Bethany, and he often used to pop in to this home, Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home, because he knew it was a place he could just be and be blessed. A bit like us in Italy. We arrive and we go, eat good food. Italian food's the best. It's the best. And we just thoroughly get blessed. And Jesus used to go there because he knew the atmosphere was conducive for him to receive something before he had this horrendous journey to the cross. It was with joy, but he was going into his suffering. And it says, he came to Bethany where Lazarus, who'd been dead, whom he raised from the dead, was. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat with him at the table. Sorry, my. Then he took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And I just think about our homes when I think of this. Bethany, a place, a home. And there is this brother. I don't know whether Lazarus was married because he's not mentioned, a wife. And there were these two sisters. They always loved Jesus. I can imagine them planning. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Very often in that culture, the man was the breadwinner, the one who took care of the home. And that meant doubly more for someone who lost the man in the house, because they couldn't provide for themselves, naturally speaking. And so I can imagine them going, Jesus gave us my brother back. He was dead, and now he's alive. What can we do to show him how thankful we are? And you might be sitting there and say, well, I would be very generous if God raised someone I love from the dead. But actually, most of us in this room have already been raised from the dead. We were dead in sin, and he has made us alive in Christ Jesus. I think we could be quite grateful for that. And if a member of your family is saved, I'm so thankful. If your child is saved, I'm so thankful, Jesus. What can we do for Jesus? Now, this is a very practical thing. They made him a supper. And there must have been quite a few because the disciples were there. This is a big event. What does this take? It takes money. Yeah. It takes shopping. Yeah. We all know what that's like at Christmas. Yeah. That's effort. That's work. It takes planning and prep. Yeah. It takes kitchen time and a little bit of sweat. But why are they doing it? They're doing it to say thank you. Yeah. They're showing generosity because they're so grateful. And then we know that Mary gave out of this kind of abundance. You know, giving can work on many levels. The base level is giving to the Lord. We honor God with our tithe. It's the ground. It's the base. If you don't tithe, you're not honoring God. We honor the Lord with a tithe, which is a 10% of all our income. You know, I loved it the other day. One of the children came and he's got money in his hand. I think it was Joseph. I said, what's that for, Joseph? For Jesus. Yes. Because it will open up the windows of heaven and pour out more blessing on that child than a taker. Amen. And so if he gets a pound, it's 10p. When he's older, if he gets 100, it'll be 10 pounds. But he has been trained in the heart of God and the will of God, which is to be generous and to honor God first with the tithe. Then there is the next phase of generosity, which is offerings. But offerings, it's not just money, but giving, giving, giving. In any way you can, you start to give away from yourself. And God says, I will multiply the offering. So there are tithes, there are offerings, but there is also this extravagant giving where at times in life, your heart will be so full of thanksgiving to Jesus, you'll say, I just want to give massive gift. May you reach the massive gift that your heart isn't shut up, but it's open to be like God and be generous on every occasion. And so this family really lived out generosity and thanksgiving because they'd already received so much from Jesus. How many people wait till they receive something new from Jesus before they'll be generous? We must give thanks for what we have received and give to the Lord now. Now, they gave to the body of Christ. They gave to his physical needs, his physically. They prepared him a supper. But the body of Jesus is no longer here. He has risen in his new resurrection body and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But he has a body on earth. We are the body of Christ. if you serve me, you serve the Lord. Wow. Do you get it? Are you there? Is your mind enlightened? Is your heart changed to see that if you give to one of these, you're doing it for Jesus? What a wonderful insight into open homes, church life, and life into the community. Be generous with the gospel. Be generous with praying for people. Be generous on every occasion. I know that we need wisdom. I once gave, and I was wrong to give. And you don't often hear that, do you? But I didn't listen to the Lord. And I was propping up a problem in someone's life because they wouldn't work. So the Lord told me, you're propping up a problem. I want them to work. Don't just support them when they do nothing. Is that okay? So that's wisdom. You need wisdom. And sometimes you need to ask people, do you think it's right? But there's also this, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Don't, you know how some people, when they trumpet it, I'm giving. I did the washing up. And I picked up the kids. And or I'm the biggest giver in the church. Look what I gave. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Because your reward, you'll already have it if everybody else knows about it. But if God only knows about it, your reward will come from God the Father. Wowzers. Amen. I don't think we've got that many trumpeters around here, but you know what I mean. But giving honors God, it shows us where our treasure is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So if you don't give into the body of Christ, your heart needs some adjusting. You need some adjustment because it's wrong. Yeah. Boom, boom. There we go. I love my preaching today. It's pretty straight. It's true. If you don't give to people, if you don't give in the offering, tithes, there needs to be some adjustments. But you don't have to, because Jesus will never force you, and neither will we. That's also so true. You're free. But your future depends on your sowing. And your future blessing and harvest depends on your generosity. Be generous on every occasion. And there's also something else. And I do want to emphasize, don't go into debt over Christmas. Is that okay to say that? Because you give what you can. Don't give what you don't have. You understand? When the widow had her last meal and Elijah shows up, she didn't go into debt and borrow the food. She borrowed vessels which were valueless unless they were filled with oil. But the widow shared what she had. Don't be pressurized to buy stuff for your kids. You'll be paying debts off in January and February and March. Tell the kids, I love you, but I'm being generous with what I have. Be free. Come on, that's good. There's the debt culture is not the kingdom culture. And I believe there's mercy and there's grace to help for those who are in debt to come out of it. God's ways, applying God's laws of finances. And there have been many people in this room who've broken free from debt and come into the blessing of God. But there is another thing about generosity. And by the way, it's not just you and your family. You know that, don't you? Well, I'm blessing my family. Well, it's like blessing you, really. Just go a little bit beyond, because our generosity is to affect the world, not just the church, our family, the whole world. Giving and being generous breaks selfishness, materialism, and consumerism. It's so easy to be taken in by all the adverts of what you should have and what you must have, because they convince you you've got to have it if you're going to have a happy Christmas. You don't have to have it. The happiest people are often those who don't have very much, providing they've got the right heart towards what they have and they're thankful. And so generosity breaks the material spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 6, you can't serve God and money. Can I say that again? You can't serve God and money. Which means, if money is your goal, you are not serving God. But if you use generosity to show that you are a servant of God, that you honor God primarily, if you use that generosity and break free from materialism, you will be investing in heavenly things. And you will be free from the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil, not having money. And I want to say something about rich people. I thank God for rich people. Thank you, Lord. Some of you aren't yet. But I thank God for rich people. And I thank God for people who don't have so much. But all of us can be generous. And God actually entrusts some people with wealth. But it can ruin some people. Or it can be channeled to bless others. But God gives wealth. 1 Timothy 6:17, I think it is. God gives wealth for your enjoyment and for the generosity that you can show to others. So he's not, God isn't a Scrooge in the sky. He's not mean. So he wants you to enjoy things, but he doesn't want you to love things so that it blocks your generosity and love for God. Amen. And I'm listening to this myself this morning. And I trust you're listening with your heart. What can I do to say thank you to Jesus for all that he has done for me? I want to stay free from the love of money, the love of things, the love of a new car, the love of a new house, the love of stuff. And I want to be someone who's investing generosity in God and his kingdom, which means people. It means people. If I love God, I will show it by giving. Now, finally, we're going to read a promise because I feel we should finish with faith. Is that okay? And it's from Proverbs chapter 25, verse, no, it's Proverbs 11, 24 to 25, I believe. I'm in faith. Yes. Yes. So, this is applying the whole teaching to one verse, really. Some of you will be saying, why didn't you just give us that verse? Well, because you needed to listen a bit more. Okay, so there is one who scatters, like a farmer, sowing, let's call it generosity, giving. One who scatters, yet increases. So in other words, you get more by giving, like a farmer. But there is one who is a Scrooge and expects everybody to give to them and takes whatever they want for their own ends. It leads to poverty. How many of you don't want to be led to poverty? Anybody in the room doesn't? This is the answer of the word of God. God is talking to you today. This is God talking. It leads to poverty. Lack. But then listen to this promise. Oh, it's one of my favorites. The generous soul will be made rich, Now, that doesn't mean necessarily you're going to be like Abraham, wealthiest man on earth, right, at the time. Doesn't mean that. It means empowered to do well in life with natural provision, but also with a soul that is healthy and happy, relationships that flourish, a happy family, a happy home, a happy wife, a happy husband, happy friends, blessed workplace. Why? Because you're generous. You'll be made rich. And he who waters others will himself be watered. Often we're a bit like that plant that can be on your kitchen window sill. Limp. Can you think of that plant needs a bit of water? There you go. Okay. And you go, God, send someone to give to me. Please send somebody to pray for me. Please send something through the post. Please do something for me. And the Lord says, pick up your watering can. Go and water someone else who looks a bit limp. Because you see, it's not always giving out of feeling full yourself. It's giving that will solve every soul issue in your life. I believe you can give your way out of depression. I believe you can give your way out of financial need. I believe you can give your way out of loneliness. Hello? I believe the word of God is true. A generous person will be made rich. And he who, even if you're, God will water you and you'll go, brilliant. Don't be the plant that expects everybody else to water you. Go and water somebody else. And God will see to it that you will be blessed. Let a move of the spirit of generosity flow through you, your home. Have a Bethany home. Have a Bethany home where you are there to say thank you to Jesus. I've been raised from the dead. I have life eternal. The old is gone, the new has come. I've got so much to be thankful for. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to finish with this scripture because it's the words of Jesus. In the end time, when the nations will be separated, the sheep and the goats, believers and unbelievers, those who have lived for Jesus and given, actually, because Jesus speaks about going to prisons. He speaks about being with those who are sick, those who are in need. Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Wow. Some of you have done so much already. And I thank God that you are a generous person in the church. I don't want to discount all the generosity that has gone before. Some of you have never broken free from the take mentality, even though you have a new nature, which is to give. God's saying, I want you to start the process of sowing so that you will reap. And some of us here today need to start making more plans to be more generous and see how we can actually love Jesus and show that love by being generous on every occasion. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of wisdom that builds life successfully. Lord, as we've heard your word, we've heard your truth. Thank you, Lord, that it's the right way of living. That this isn't a suggestion. It's actually showing us this is the way. Walk in it. And I pray, Lord, that your word will inspire us to not just keep sowing without believing for a harvest. To have faith like the farmer, that if we're generous to someone and we don't get it back from them, we will definitely get it back from our Heavenly Father. And so we commit to you, Lord, what we have sown. Just thank him for the power to be generous, the power of the Spirit, the love that he's poured in your heart to be generous to others. Thank him that people have been generous to you. For the church, let's just give thanks for the church, the body of Christ.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.